Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Brents. I'm joined by Ray Kuhn himself from the Kuhn and Friends Podcast. How are you doing, Ray?
I'm doing good. What about you today?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, we went from the Royals. We're going to a slightly better team at this point. This team is at least a playoff team last year. We're talking about the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Exactly. We have a few more than three fantasy-relevant players to talk about today.
Yeah, let's put it this way. I think that there's three fantasy relevant players in this on the pitching side of things.
Oh, at least that, and then obviously whoever's going to close, and then we have a bench arm that that some people love, some people hate. We'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah, but before we start, why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached?
I'm over on Twitter at Ray_Kuhn_28. I'm writing a weekly article on Friends with Fantasy Benefits. We have our weekly podcast. I'm also doing some writing over at Roto Professor. Now, what about you, Ben?
I can be reached at bbrandsfwfb, and you'll be able to find me on a couple of different podcasts for Friends with Fantasy Benefits. When we start in the outfield, and we're going to be going from left to right, we're going to actually start with Yosemite Tomas, provided that he's actually healthy. Is there any fantasy relevance for you with Tomas, or is he someone that you kind of see as a bit of a disappointment in terms of fantasy?
I'll tell you one thing. Before we even talk about Tomas from a fantasy perspective, I don't know about you, but I'm not getting in a car with him anytime soon. So, I mean, we have to see what happens. He got arrested for speeding. I think he was going 105. So we have to see if there's going to be any kind of suspension or what. But I mean, even regardless of that, he has such a hard time staying healthy. Such a hard time defensively. I think at this point we can kind of consider him a bust. Guy has power, but that's really about it. He struggles to stay on the field. He struggles to make contact. Right now he's their best option out there in the corner unless they sign a J.D. Martinez, which I don't think is going to happen. So, grain of salt, you got to keep an eye on him, but I'm probably going to look elsewhere for my power.
I think Tomas sucks. Let's just be a little blunt about it. I mean, yeah, he had 31 home runs back in 2016, but there's not a lot of confidence that, I mean, his own team doesn't even like him. I don't even think his own team has a ton of confidence in him. So
yeah, I don't think so.
At what point, if the team doesn't have confidence in you, why should I?
No, I agree. I mean, he's 27 years old. They gave him the $67 million contract. So you're expecting more, but you don't want to get caught from a fantasy perspective where you're expecting more and you're counting on him for something that his own team, like you said, his own team doesn't even count on him.
Yeah, it makes it tough when your own team's not able to count on you and there's almost no value in anything that you're doing. Plus, we don't even know what's going to happen. On the driving side of things, is there something wrong with going 105? Because I feel like I do it all the time.
I mean, if I'm doing it and I have control over it, maybe I'm okay with it, but I don't know if I want to get in the car with him doing it. I mean, who knows? I don't want to run into a cactus or anything. I mean, we do know that he drives faster than he runs.
It's a good joke.
I try.
I mean, when I drive 105, I typically drive with my feet. So I think that's the most safe thing for everyone on the road, so.
Yeah, I'm going to stay away.
I like how we're talking about driving with Yosemite Tomas more than anything that he does in the baseball.
That just goes to tell you not to invest in him from a fantasy perspective.
Yes. What about AJ Pollock? Is he someone that you want to buy in on this year? Because this dude is the epitome of injury.
That's what I was just going to say.
Pardon?
That's exactly what I was just going to say. I want this guy to stay healthy. I mean, I want to like Pollock. I want to be behind Pollock. He stole 20 bases last year. He hit 14 homers. He's an easy 2020 guy. Just stay healthy. But I'm not going to pay the price for Pollock. He's 30 now. So he's starting to get up there where you really have to be concerned about the health. We know his role. We know what he can do when he's healthy. But you have to discount the fact that you're going to, at some point in the season, have to replace him.
Yeah, I know that that's the problem, is that you're going to have to kind of build in a backup plan for a Pollock. And the problem with that is, It's basically similar to Troy Tulowitzki years ago, but outfielders will go so quick that depending on the size of your league, you may not get a great backup for him that you if you're in a four outfield league, you're going to almost have to go and grab another outfielder pretty quick just so that you can attempt to have a decent backup if he does in fact go down. Otherwise, you're going to be kind of off the waiver wire in a deep league, or you may have to go to outfield number 80 or something of that nature before you even come close to getting anything of value.
Exactly. And the other problem we're talking about Pollock, we're talking about his health, and one of the biggest things with him is his stolen bases. And the guy had a groin injury last year. So, yeah, he still managed to steal 20, but if he's having trouble staying healthy and it's his legs again, you have to wonder, is this going to be his last 20-steal season?
If he's healthy, what type of stat line do you think he can put up?
If he's healthy, I think 20-20 easy, if not 20-25, if he's healthy.
And do you think he could hit 300 with relative ease if he's healthy?
He hit 266 last year, I mean, 83% contact rate, so I like that. He does have the pop, obviously. You get the big gaps in Arizona. I don't think he's a 300 hitter. I mean, at best, maybe 280, 285.
Fair enough. I think that he could be 300 if he's having a pretty good season. But the thing is he'll still get, 100 runs, maybe 75 RBIs. So he's definitely, if he's able to stay healthy for the entire course of the year, I think he's pretty easily a top 10 outfielder, if not a little better, because he's able to put up very good stats.
I don't know top 10. I think that's a little pushy.
If he's healthy for a full season, the type of stat lines that he's able to put up, I think he could easily put up a top 10 season, because we've seen him have fantastic seasons when he's been able to be healthy before. But we know that he's not going to be healthy. So it's kind of a moot point.
Exactly. And you want to kind of keep that caution with him. You don't want to expect that. If you get it from him, that's good, but you don't want to necessarily rely on it.
What about David Peralta? This guy can actually hit real well. He doesn't have as much pop as some people thought. I thought he was going to hit more than 14 home runs last year. But he scored 82 runs, but only 57 RBIs, 8 steals. What do you expect from Peralta? Because he'll give you consistency, but nothing is going to be overly over the top.
Well, I mean, he bats leadoff in the National League. So as far as the RBIs, we can't expect much more than that. The 82 runs, it's a pretty strong lineup, so maybe upwards of 90, whatever. I'm good with that. The 8 steals is kind of just there. But he's going to be rostered in just about all leagues. He's going to be rostered in just about all leagues. The fact that he's going to come close to 300 is a good thing. But he hits the ball way too much on the ground, 55% last year. And when you have to get all this power, and there's all this power in the game, and we're talking about power, to me, he's no more than a fourth or a fifth outfielder, because if you're going to go with him, you got to make up for that power from somewhere else. So he's not really giving you an advantage. He's not helping. He's not necessarily hurting. I mean, if you want to pair him with, say, Chris Davis, I mean, honestly, either one, the one with the C or the one with the K, they're going to hit home runs, but they're going to struggle with average. You have to kind of pair him with somebody like that. Maybe you can get some value there. But to me, he's nobody that I'm going to put on my list. All right, I need to draft him.
Yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. He's someone that if I want that consistent type of player that can have a decent average with runs and the occasional pop, sure, I'll take him. But he's not someone who I'm going to be like, I need to grab him. I'm going to try to grab him before other people. While I understand he's a safe, consistent player, he's not someone who really bends the needle for me. So
exactly, there's no upside there. Nothing against the guy, but there's no upside.
Why don't we move on to the infield? And at third base, we have Jake Lamb, who had 30 home runs last year and 105 RBIs, but a pretty disappointing average of .248. Is he going to be someone who can consistently hit .270, or is he someone who's going to be like a .250 guy, and we're going to have to just take that to go with the power and RBIs at third base?
I have him more at 255, 260, because, I mean, he did have a hand injury last year in July. There was some bad luck from the batting average perspective. He really only needs a few more hits to bump that up there. And at 255, 260, well, he's not an asset. He's also not a liability. So I'm perfectly fine with that. And I think he can do that moving forward. I'd like to see him improve a little bit on the 72% contact rate. But, I mean, overall, 30 and 100, maybe if he doesn't get 30 homers again and he gets 25, whatever. I'm good with that. He has Goldschmidt in front of him. So he's gonna see some pitches to hit. I think he kind of gets lost in the shuffle, maybe because the batting average is obviously on the lower side. But I think he's a solid option if you miss out on that first or second tier third baseman.
Yeah, I think he's more of a second to third tier third baseman, like you were saying, just because if he doesn't have the average, you know. Obviously, there's a reason that he's not one of the top guys, but if he was able to hit like a 275, 280, he could easily be someone who's considered one of those top third basemen, just because if he's hitting 30 home runs with a 248 average and having 105 runs batted in and 89 runs, if you bump that up 25, 30 points, I could easily see him scoring 100 runs, maybe having 110, 115 RBIs with maybe a couple more home runs. That's a pretty good echelon to be in, and yeah, I think it would be worthwhile to have someone like him just outside that first tier, but you're still able to get him for a little later price. But until he brings that average up, it's still going to be something that's hard for me to sit with.
Exactly. Yeah, he's kind of on that border, second, third tier, depending on how you break it out.
Why don't we move over to shortstop, and we're going to be talking about Ketel Marte. Is there a lot of fantasy value for him here, or is he more of a middle infielder for you, or just an NL-only player?
Definitely NL-only, but more of a middle infielder. I know there's some people that like Marte more than others. I mean, we're not getting power from him unless you're somehow factoring in defense to the equation. You're not getting credit for that, but it's going to keep him in the lineup. Maybe he grows into 10 or 15 homers. But that's his ceiling. Does have an 86% contact rate. So, and his speed is elite. There's no arguing that. So he puts the bat on the ball. He can utilize his speed to get on base. Thing is, last year he had 255 plate appearances and only 3 stolen bases. So Arizona's going to have to loosen the reins and let him run a little bit before I'm more all in on Marte. But if you're going to tell me he's going to steal 20, 25 bases this year, it would not surprise me at all.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me, but I'm not really banking on it. I think that I don't really want any part of him. I mean, I'm willing to take him if I need a player and he's there, but that's only if I'm in a kind of a desperate situation. I think that he could get some steals, but at this point, he's going to be hitting at the bottom third of the lineup, potentially. So there's not a lot of value in that.
Exactly. Unfortunately, that could limit his running potential, too.
I'd rather personally take someone like Chris Owings, who has the potential to go 15-15 or even 20-20 potentially this year if he's able to stay healthy. This is another guy who's got a good power-speed combo blend, but was not healthy for last year. And the ability to play short, second, and outfield is something that...
It's huge.
It's huge, exactly. I mean, the fact that you know that you're going to be able to get him for all three of those positions just off the bat makes it easy to continue to play with him because you're able to plug and play, and having multi-positional diversity is something that's super underappreciated sometimes in fantasy baseball. And that's the kind of reason that I have him as close to he's near a top 10 shortstop for me.
I mean, especially now with the 10-day DL thing, you definitely have to appreciate that. And I mean, again, we touched on it before with Tomas. If we're not trusting him, and you slide Owings out into the outfield and put everyone's friend Brandon Drury in at second base, we'll get to that in a minute. I think Owings is going to be in the lineup as long as he stays healthy. Last year, he was 12 and 12, 386 plate appearances. He lost essentially the second half of the season, and there was some bad luck in there as well. So, I mean, we're talking 15-15. I'm going to pump the brakes saying he can go 20-20 if he plays a full year. But, I mean, he's still 26. He has some pop. He has some plate skills. He's definitely a name worth keeping an eye on.
Yeah, I very much like him, and it would be great if he's able to have a good, healthy season, because I think that he's got a lot of potential, and it's nice to have someone like him at his age be able to come up. And, you know, last year was really kind of like a breakout year, and it would be great to just see him be able to sit in someone's lineup. You're able to plug and play him in three different positions. He's someone who has such versatility, and the fact that he has a nice power-speed combo blend, I don't see why you wouldn't want someone like that on your roster.
No, yeah, I totally agree. He's definitely a useful player.
Why don't we talk about the best player on this team, and that's Paul Goldschmidt. What can you say about Goldschmidt that no one else can really say? I mean,
when you started that, I really thought we were going right over to Brandon Drury. I was waiting for the Brandon Drury talk.
I'm sorry, I totally forgot about him. The best player on this team is Brandon Drury. I'm sorry, we're in a bizarre world today, folks. Sorry.
I mean, the thing about Drury is, I mean, I've seen some people I've seen people getting a little more excited about Drury than I think they need to be. I mean, tell me if I'm missing something here. He had 13 homers and 480 plate appearances and hit 267 last year. I mean, am I missing something? Am I just being cranky about Drury?
No, I mean, it's tough for me to be cranky on Drury. I just think he's trash.
But I mean, I feel like he's one of those guys that has been mentioned more than maybe he should be.
I don't like him. I don't know why other people like him. I don't see anything in his profile that makes me think that he's going to be a useful player. And he's not even an everyday player at this point. So really, what's the point?
Exactly. I mean, he ended up being an everyday player last year because of injuries.
But that's the thing, because of injuries.
Maybe it happens again this year. I don't know. But at best, he's a replacement value player for me. And now moving on to Goldschmidt, the true best player on the Diamondbacks, without a doubt, and probably one of the top three or four picks in your draft.
And now you really think that he's a top three or four pick in drafts?
In some, because he stole 18 bases last year.
Yeah, he actually had a bad second half in terms of stolen bases, unfortunately.
No, he did.
I think if I recall correctly, he had 15, I don't know, by like game 70 or something like that. And I was like, oh, this dude could easily get to 25 stolen bases. And
yeah, he definitely slowed down.
He wasn't running as much, but at the same point in time, they didn't need him to run. So he chose not to. He was able to pick his spots, but I mean, I think the most disappointing thing about his year last year was the fact that he didn't hit 300.
I mean, he hit 297, so come on, I'm still
disappointed. I mean, I have him on a dynasty team. He needs to hit 300.
I'm fine with that. Hit 297, that's fine with me.
I mean, I have a dynasty team in which I have Posey, Murphy, Goldschmidt, and Trout with JD Martinez. I mean, I enjoy my offense that my team brings.
Yeah, no, I don't see why you wouldn't. Definitely should, but again, 297, I'm not complaining at all about that. When you have the power, you have the contact skills, there's really nothing negative we can say about Goldschmidt. I'm not going to count on 18 stolen bases again, maybe 12 to 15, be a little more conservative, but I mean, with JD Martinez gone, I mean, Goldschmidt's proven he can do it with him, he can do it without him. I don't think it necessarily matters. He's still one of the best players in the game. I'm obviously not gonna not taking Goldschmidt first few picks of the draft.
Yeah, obviously he's going to be someone that you want. Last year when they acquired JD Martinez, obviously he got a little more lineup protection as a result. Do you think that there's going to be a slight down decrease in his like run stats or anything because of no JD behind him at this current time?
Maybe a little bit, but I mean, I think Lamb proved enough for me last year. I mean, obviously, if Pollock stays healthy, that's a big question mark. But if Owings takes the next step, Peralta continues to do what he does, I think there's enough there with that lineup. And Goldschmidt was doing it in the first half of the year before they got JD as well. So, well, I think it's something to consider. I'm not going to really let it cloud my judgment.
Fair enough. We don't want anyone clouding your judgment.
No, not at all. We got to keep my judgment clear and pristine.
Is there anyone else on the handy side of things that you want to talk about?
I mean, maybe we'll just give a brief mention to Socrates Brito, just based on the fact that if Tomas, for whatever reason, isn't on the field, and if Owings is in the infield and Drury is on the bench or in the infield or whatever, but maybe Brito is like a Peralta type of player, but I'm not banking on a 290 average. So I guess really, no, there's nobody else I really want to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, Brito is valuable as a fourth outfielder for this team, but I don't see any fantasy value for him this year, even if he played a full season. I think that there's other fantasy valuable players elsewhere.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, he's just one of those things that, especially in an NL-only league where you got to prioritize at-bats, keep an eye on him, but that's really about it.
Who's a better pitcher for you? Is it Zach Greinke or Robbie Ray?
Greinke. It's not as close as some people would make it out to be. Let's put it that way. Trust me, I get the Ray hype. I get why people like Ray. I tried to resist the Ray hype. Last year I came in and just got on the wave. But, Greinke's 34 now, so he's getting up there. But he's still an ace. Aside from 2016, Greinke's proven year in, year out that he could do it. He's an ace. He went 202 innings last year. To me, that's a big thing, considering Ray only pitched 162. Granted, Ray still struck out three more batters than Greinke did.
Ray also got hurt. He got that line drive off his head.
Exactly, and I'm not going to necessarily knock him for that, but I'd rather invest in a pitcher that I've seen consistently hit the 200-inning mark as opposed to somebody that hasn't done it yet and doesn't have the track record. ERA-wise, Ray was better, 289 to 320. Greinke had it in the whip, 107 to 115. But Ray's FIP was 372. So, I'm not necessarily saying he's going to go all the way down to the 372 from the 289 ERA, but, I mean, it's close to a run. So it's a pretty sizable gap. He's been historically around that level. So, I mean, that could just be where his trend is. But to me, Greinke, I can get away with having as my number one starting pitcher. Robbie Ray, I'm not sure I'm sleeping comfortably if he's my number one starting pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, as of right now in a standard 10-team league, which I know not everyone does standard, but I have Greinke as my 10th and Robbie Ray as my 11th starting pitcher. So clearly, I have them as close as possibly can be. I love Robbie Ray. I am a strikeout whore. I've said it so many times. I love the things that Robbie Ray's done. I was high on him last year. I grabbed him in a bunch of leagues. There was one league that I missed him by like one pick, and I was so, so disgusted with myself because I was like, I should take him this pick before. I don't think I'll make it back to me. And I got through 19 picks, and I didn't grab him. So I was very disappointed. I mean, Greinke is a great player. Don't get me wrong. I would love to have Greinke on my team. I would love to have Robbie Ray on my team. I think that you can't go wrong with having it. Either of these guys, if you take Robbie Ray, you do have to get a very solid, consistent second starting pitcher to go with him, just because the consistency for him to be that top-tier starter hasn't shown in the past until last year. So you're going to have someone to pair with him. So just be aware of that, because you don't want to go in with and have him and then have like a low-end number two or, even a mid-level three type guy as your second guy to go with him, because you could be kind of hurting at that time.
Because the thing with Greinke is he limited the walks last year. Ray has a problem with walks. where he had a 40% fly ball percentage last year. That's another thing that kind of just in the back of your mind again. I'm not saying I'm not going to draft Ray. Maybe I'm just being a little cautious. Maybe I'm being a little prude while you're being a whore, but...
Oh, you watch your mouth there, sir.
I mean, I understand if you did the walk of shame if you didn't get Ray in the one draft, so I get that, but I'm just going to be a little more cautious.
What about Taiwan Walker, Patrick Corbin, or Zach Godley? Is there a lot of fantasy value for these guys, or are these guys someone that if he follows you, they follow you, but you're not going to lose sleep over if they don't?
Walker, we'll go with Walker first. If he falls to me, I'm not losing sleep either way. The guy, still just 25. He had a lot of hype when he was in Seattle. I'm still not necessarily sure that he's lost all those skills, all that hype. He's still a solid guy. He's never put it together yet. I'm not necessarily saying he's going to. If I get him, I get him, whatever. Corbin, probably another tick up on my food chain. I like the fact that he had a 50% ground ball rate last year. I think the key for him is he went to the slider more. He was also healthy. Velocity was back up. He, like his friend Robbie Ray, he has to control the walks a little bit. A 142 whip is not making me sleep well. But maybe he's a tick up. Then we get to Godley kind of came out of nowhere last year. Struck out a little over a batter an inning. And if you're a FIP believer, I know I brought FIP up when I was knocking Ray. Godley had a 3.37 ERA and a 3.41 FIP, so that's pretty close. Gets strikes, keeps the ball on the ground even better than Corbin. He's at 55%. So, I mean, I guess I go Godley, Corbin, Walker as far as the order. I don't know if I'm necessarily targeting any of them, but within their tiers, maybe I'm a little – I mean, I kind of have interest in all three of them. What about you?
Yeah, I think I'm highest on Godley of these three just because of the skill set that he's bringing to the table. And I think that he's the most undervalued of these players. In regards to Patrick Corbin's walk rate, I mean, he had 189 and two-thirds innings last year and only 61 walks. Taiwan Walker had basically 32 less innings, or 32 and a third less innings, and had the same amount of walks. So, and Zach Godley had 8 less walks in basically 34 and two-thirds innings less. So I don't think that Corbin's walks are the issue. I think it's the fact that he gave up 208 runs in those 189s and two-thirds innings. But at the same point in time, it was his first time being back healthy for a long period of time and being a starter. So I've seen what he's done in the past, and I have a lot of confidence that he could get back to that type of pitcher. He could be like a mid-three for you.
He was also stronger in the second half of the year, too.
Exactly. He was significantly stronger in the second half of the year compared to where he was in the first half, I felt. I mean, it was nice to see what they're able to do. I think that this is one of the better rotations in terms that all five of the starters could actually be fantasy-relevant players and could be useful, depending on the size of your league.
I think you're right.
Is there any other starters that you think could have any value this year? I know Miller will be back and Banda could be up, but do you think either of them have any value or no?
No, I'm not. Neither of them are on my pre-draft list. I mean, maybe keep an eye on them if they come up, if you have a need as a spot starter type, but it's probably about it. Miller, I mean, without going too crazy on Miller, we've seen what he could do. We see what he can't do. Wherever the answer lies, maybe he comes back healthy, but it's still going to take him a little while anyway, so I'm not concerning myself with him.
Why don't we go into the bullpen, and basically the only person I'm interested in is Archie Bradley as the closer, if he is the closer. Are you either interested in Boxberger or Hirano?
Yosisha Hirano. I am actually interested in all three of them. And my initial thought, which for whatever that's worth, is that Boxberger or Hirano will be the closer and then it's not going to be Bradley. Bradley had one save last year. We all know how successful he was. Moving Bradley to the bullpen worked wonders for him. Guy had a 1.73 ERA and a 1.04 whip. 79 Ks in 73 innings, plus velocity. His two-pitch mix was perfect. He can go multi-innings. I know towards the end of the year they stopped using him for the multi-inning stint. They had Rodney in there, who's a terrible pitcher, but he knows how to get saves. So Bradley only had one save last year. I mean, skill-wise, Bradley's the best pitcher in this bullpen, but he doesn't have the track record as a closer. He can go multi-innings. If I'm Arizona, I'm keeping him in that kind of stretch, seventh, eighth inning role, and I'm going with Boxberger or Hirano. But, I mean, obviously, if Bradley ends up being the closer, it wouldn't surprise me, but I'm thinking that he's better. Obviously, fantasy baseball purposes, we want Bradley to be the closer. But as far as Arizona is concerned, I think they're better served not having him as a closer.
Yeah, we shall see. I mean, I think that he's got good save capabilities if he does get it. But, you know, having Boxberger or Hirano in there, I wouldn't be disappointed to see any of them. So I think that there's valuable options in the safe hold league in this bullpen.
No, I think you're right. I mean, Boxberger saved 41 games in 2015. Then he's kind of been hurt the last 2 years. Again, last year, first half of the year, he didn't do well because he was still getting healthy. Second half of the year, he did better. Hirano saved a ton of games in Japan, I think 156 career saves. He was successful last year at 29 saves and a 267 ERA. He's old. He's an older guy. He's 33, obviously. It's not a clear path of success from Japan to the States. But, I mean, we've seen Koji Uehara do it. We've seen Sasaki do it with Seattle. So there's some sort of precedent there. It wouldn't surprise me. I'm not paying much on draft day for this bullpen. Maybe by spring training we'll get a better idea. But in deeper leagues, if you want to take a flyer on Hirano or Boxberger and take Bradley knowing that you're going to get some Ks and there's a possibility for saves. I mean, he's still probably my highest ranked pitcher in the bullpen just because he's the best one.
Yeah. Is there anyone else in this bullpen that you want to talk about?
Not really. I mean, Randall Delgado is that kind of perfect swing guy. They used him to start. They used him to get some holds last year. Nothing. 68% first pitch strike rate is a big thing, but there, unless he somehow gets a regular role, there's nothing much to talk about there. Jimmy Scherfi maybe is a dark horse for saves.
Says Scherfi or Scherfi?
Scherfi, Scherfi. I'm not really sure, to tell you the truth.
It looks like Scherfi. I was going to say he's got a great name.
All right, so I mean, either way, guy, 10 and two-thirds innings, 9 strikeouts, didn't allow a run, and got a save when they called him up last year. He did well in AAA, struck out 61 batters in 49 innings last year. Maybe he's a dark horse for saves. That's probably about it.
All right. Well, Ray, why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached and what you're working on then?
I am over on Twitter at Ray_Kuhn_28. You can find me, obviously, on Friends with Fantasy Benefits, doing a podcast, a few more team previews to go. We got, I think, the Astros and the Dodgers Ben and I are going to take care of. Then we'll have our weekly show. I'm over at Roto Professor, getting you ready for the baseball season. What about you, Ben?
I can be reached at BBrandisFWFB. You can find me twice a week on the basketball podcast, joined by Eric Mackey. You'll be able to find me on the Kuhn and Friends podcast with Evan Peterson and Rick Kuhn during the baseball season. You'll find some of my articles in the draft guide that will be coming out next month. So from the rest of us at Friends with Fantasy Benefits, have a great baseball offseason, everyone.
Enjoy.